Reverend Alberto Pena.
Thanks, Patrick.
Love you.
Love you. Love you. Have a seat. All of you who were here got this form, right? This announcement that Dean sent out. Renewed mind, key to power. It's like bold and in handwriting up here. I know you can't all see it, but this was what you all got, right? In order for you to sign up and be here. One thing we got to remember is that when we renew our minds, it's key to power. We can make things happen according to God's word when we renew our minds to God's word. Because God's word is meant to be lived. It has, like, as soon as we believe it, God goes to work. And what he can do for each one of us is so tremendous. So what I'm going to share on tonight is controlling our mind. And Dean, thank you, Reverend Dean McCarter, for asking me to share and teach God's word. It's always a privilege and an honor. When you have the opportunity to share, it's always so great. And so tonight's going to be great. Go to Proverbs 25. Now I'm going to give you a couple disclaimers, okay? During the sharing or the teaching, I'm going to ask you a few questions. But I don't want you to necessarily answer them, like out loud, right? But you can answer them here. And the other thing I want to ask is that you consider this next, whatever, 40 minutes for you. God wants the individual blessed. Dean mentioned that on the first night last night. And that is so important for us to remember. Because it's not about, you know, the pressure of other people. Yes, it's great to have people around you to give you the word. But at the end of the day, that relationship with God that you have is so precious. And you should remember that God really wants the best for you. And one of the key things in our life is to be able to control this. When God made, formed, and created man and woman, he made this, our minds, to be able to hold his word. That's how he set it up. And we'll look at it later. The ability is there. It's not a matter of if we have the ability as a believer. It's there. It's if we use it or do it, believe God's word when it comes to this. And this is so important because if you control your thoughts will take care of your life. Very simple principle. If you remember anything from this sharing, control your thoughts and your thoughts will take care of your life. And of course, it's in the context of God's word, right? You know, that we renew our minds to God's word. I'm not trying to think of that show that Tim mentioned. It's God's word. So Proverbs 25, verse 28. Let's look at this. Verse 28. It says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Now, back in the day, and I'm sure you've seen this probably on video games, where a city usually used to have a wall to protect. So you'd have watchmen at the wall. So if there were people coming from afar, they could see from afar. But that city was protected. And here, God's word says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit, just not, you know, spirit as in pneuma, this is our life, you know, our heart, our mind, is like a city that is broken down and without walls. So you're defenseless. If you don't know how to control this, it's like you're defenseless. Go to Proverbs 16. Proverbs has a lot of great keys when it comes to controlling your life. And here we'll just look at a couple when it comes to our minds. And I got to tell you, this is one of my favorite subjects in the Word. Because I grew up, and you know, many of you don't know me, but I grew up in a religion that was very traditional Italian. I think you could do the math of what that was. And it was about, you know, traditions of men and statues, idols, basically. And I honestly grew up around a lot of evil stuff that was in the name of God. So there was no, you know, controlling of the mind teaching. It was all about emotion. It was all about feeling bad. Talk about condemnation, all that stuff. That was heightened, you know? So for me, when I got to God's word and Dean spoke the word to me, I thought, wow, I could control my mind. It was like a new thing. Proverbs 16:32, it says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit," again, your life, your mind, your heart, "his spirit, than he that taketh a city." And ruleth here means to rule or have dominion. And spirit, in both verses, it just means like your breath life, your mind, your life, like I mentioned. Go to 2 Timothy. So it's so important for us to control our minds, and later we'll look at some emotions. And, you know, there's a bunch of emotions, but I'm picking three, and we'll get to that later. But here in that verse we just read, you know, slow to anger. We shouldn't fly off the handle when it comes to anger. And I think it was mentioned this morning as well. But we'll see a little more on that a little later. 2 Timothy 1:7. And this is so key that we understand this. 2 Timothy 1:7. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Here, power, God has not given us a spirit of fear, which is a spirit of cowardice, you know? But he's given us a spirit of power, and that word power is dunamis, which is potential power latent within, okay? Potential power, key word, of love, and that is the love of God here. Now, all of us have that love of God, right? According to what this says, if you're born again. You ever find yourself where maybe you don't love with that love of God, where you fall short? I have. So the potential there again is that it's not automatic, right? You get the picture? Dunamis is potential power. Unless we believe God's word, that key to power, and ignite what's in there, that potential, boom, we don't ignite it. You don't see it. You understand? So again, dunamis is potential power, love of God. Unless you put it on in the renewed mind, you're not going to love with the love of God. And I'm trying to make a point here. I'm going to get to the sound mind. Here, sound mind, and this is cool, an admonishing or calling to soundness of mind, to moderation, to self-control, making of sound mind, hence making sober-minded. So again, in all three, and sound-minded here is what I'm focusing on, you have to do it. You have to put it on, you see? We decide to believe God's word and then do it. Because the ability is there as a born-again believer. It says it right there in black and white. Power, love, sound mind. It's up to us to renew our mind to the word of God and then do this and to put on that sound mind, to control our thinking. Ecclesiastes 5. Ecclesiastes 5. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, chapter 5. The other thing I love about this, and we'll practice it in a little bit, is that it's so practical, the sound mind. And controlling your mind and having that habit is so key. You know, because right now, all of us right here, everybody seems pretty happy, and it's pretty simple to be here, you know, sit here, you know what I mean, like where you are now. But when you're challenged in life, in school, or at work, or wherever you may be, at the store, you know, those are the times we have to remember, okay, bring it in, this thing. We control it. So Ecclesiastes 5:1, it says, "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifices or sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil." What does this all mean? Keep thy foot here basically just means to take care of your steps, which in turn, this is an Orientalism, means take care of your thoughts. When you go to God, basically your attitude of humility is key. But take care of your thoughts. Like, just pay attention to your thoughts. You know, and again, if you take care of your thoughts, they will take care of your life. And be more ready to hear, that whole phrase goes up to fools. It basically means that you will be more ready to hear God. And when you need specific guidance, how great it is that we have God that could show you specifically something that by your senses you would not know. So why wouldn't we want to be more prepared or in tune to be ready to hear from God? So when we go to God, you know, just take care of your thoughts. Take care of those steps that go on here. And the more we dwell on stuff here, it sinks in here, in our hearts, which is really the seat of where we believe. All right, Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe where?
In thy heart.
You see why the heart is so important? Proverbs 23:7. What does it say? Anybody?
For as he thinketh in his heart,
so is he. So that thinking of what we think of ourselves, if we think the word of ourselves, it's going to sink down here and we're going to walk like Jesus Christ. Because there's no other greater example than Jesus Christ, who believed who he was and believed what he came to do and all that stuff. But he believed he was the Son of God. And whatever God said, he believed what the word said about himself. And that's how we ought to be. Proverbs 13. I like this one a lot. So I'm just laying some groundwork before we go see the practical part of all this. Proverbs 13. And there's many more scriptures you can look at. Proverbs 13:3. It says, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Many of us with big mouths sometimes get in trouble, right? But I want to read to you a translation from the Sanskrit. It says, he that is peaceful in his speech saveth his life, but he that is belligerent shall have destruction. So again, you know, the mouth plays into a lot of the stuff where, you know, in our lives where we confess stuff, right? But what we dwell on here first is what's going to come out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So why wouldn't you want to dwell on the things of God? Because you know what? That's what's going to come out. Instead of dwelling on, like Tim shared, so it was so cool. Condemnation and not forgiving, that stuff comes out. And if you ever hear or ever been part of a situation where somebody, maybe a friend, all of a sudden blows out on you, you know, like just yells everything you ever did wrong in 5 minutes. It's because they've been pondering it. And maybe we've done that. And if we've been there, you know, God will forgive you for that too. But if you've been there, you know how crazy that is. How you just blurt out bad stuff. So here instead, be peaceful with your speech. Be quiet, you know, think of what God says. And get into more of a habit on dwelling on the things of God when it comes to what we say. Because really it comes back to what we're thinking. That's why it's so important to control your mind. Romans 13. And I'm not saying don't speak up. Because many times we have to speak up or talk about stuff that and to get help and get deliverance that may be uncomfortable, or maybe we're just not sure how to even express something that's going on in our heart to get that deliverance. I'm not talking about, you know, like be quiet and be zombies. I'm not... You get the picture, that we need to control what goes in here so we control what comes out of here. But Romans 13:14, it says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. We could put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we put on that mind of Christ. We don't have to make provision for the flesh, for the things of the world. Jesus Christ, again, was our greatest example, you know. And we'll look at a couple records where, you know, what he did in situations where he was challenged. But here in Romans, it talks to us that we could put on the Lord Jesus Christ, you know. And it's so cool that we don't have to be conformed to this world. So when we do that, we're doing what God's word says. We're not conforming to the world. We're doing things like, what would Jesus Christ do? You know, because he, again, was our greatest example. Galatians 5. And something that's interesting about lust, you know, when I was younger in the Word, I When I heard that word, to me, it made bad sexual stuff. And it does, but it's not just that. It's an over-desire. It's where basically need ceases. And that could be in, you know, it could be a lust of loving cars. I don't know. And having 20 cars if you don't need them. If you need them, that's different. I don't know if that's a great example. But, you know, again, that stuff comes when that need ceases. And God provides the need. He doesn't provide the greed. Remember that. So Galatians 5:16, it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." You know, and somebody said it this morning, basically, I think it was Stephanie, right? About, you know, putting on things that are spiritual and walking by the Spirit. It's not this grand, crazy, goofy thing. It's very simple. You're just thinking the Word. You're putting on the Word. And as you focus on the Word, you don't have to focus on the stuff of the flesh. You see how the beauty of this verse? Let's read it again. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." So it's not that I shouldn't do this, I shouldn't do this. That's religion, by the way. I shouldn't do this. Because you know what? If you're focusing on that, you're going to do that you're not supposed to do. Just focus on the things of the Spirit. Walk like Jesus Christ. Put on the Word of God, whatever it is, in whatever area you need, and focus on what the Word says. And then you don't have to worry about the, I shouldn't do this, I shouldn't do this. You see? And that's all part of controlling this. And it's so important. Hebrews 4. In life situation, many times, we need to control our minds. All of us, in one way or another, are challenged, probably daily, and some days more than others. And some of that is maybe old man. Some of it's just direct attacks from the adversary. Some of it's even coming via people we know, people that are close to us, or people in school. But yet, it's important to control this. Because again, like we read in the Old Testament, you're controlling this, you're ready to hear from God if He needs to tell you something. And man, that's awesome. When you're in situations where God can help you out, and the only way out is God, you want to be ready. You know what I mean? So Hebrews 4:15. It says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be troubled, the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." And that's speaking of Jesus Christ. Go to Philippians 2. Jesus Christ never sinned. He was challenged, but yet never sinned. Philippians 2:5. Philippians 2:5. And again, this is addressed to us, you, me, the believers. And you notice that God doesn't put a question mark here. It's a command. Verse 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." You know what this indicates, besides that He's telling us to do it? That we're able to do it. God wouldn't tell us anything that we're not able to do. So if you think, all of you, any of you, if you think you can't do the Word and walk like Jesus Christ, you're wrong. That's wrong information that you're thinking. Because right there, the Word tells us, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." We could put it on. Go to Matthew 4. And you know, when I go to this record, Matthew 4, of Jesus Christ tempted by the devil, I think of how, well, I think many things, but one of the things I think of is how in life situations, decisions we make, many times we maybe have made decisions like emotionally good, emotionally bad. It's always good to be on the good side, right? But make decisions based on the Word. Think of this record where when those challenges come up, and by the way, don't kid yourself. A lot of times we get challenged where it's just us, you know, our minds, or the adversary is trying to feed us something. And you got to pay attention and know that it's not right according to the word. And let's look at how Jesus Christ handled stuff. Matthew 4. It says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered." Okay, let's take a pause. 40 days, 40 nights. I don't know how long some of you have gone without eating, but 40 days and 40 nights is a long time for any of us. Even if you're not a fan of eating, that's a long time. Maybe 4 days? 40 days, okay? You know, Jesus Christ was a man who walked, remember? But I'm trying to set the tone. It wasn't like, you know, what I call sometimes in my fellowship, God Jr. He was a man. 40 days and 40 nights, if we went that long without eating, think of the condition you'll be in. Think of where your mind is going to be. Think of the body, and a lot of you guys are smart with all that stuff. Think of what's happening in the body, right? So that's the picture you got to have when you read this, okay? All right, verse 3. "And when the tempter came to him and said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.'" The first thing he was challenged, "Are you the Son of God?" First thing. Remember that his condition, he was a man, right? And look at where he went. "But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God.'" He went to what? His word? God's word. Remember, 40 days, 40 nights. And I'm not trying to focus on the fasting part. What I'm trying to focus on is that he got attacked in probably a condition where he wasn't, I don't know how to put it, but you get the picture, right? He was pretty, probably weak. But yet he still had the word. How are you guys? How am I when we get challenged when we just ate? You know what I mean? Do we think the word? Do we go, you know what? This is what the word says. It is written, and many times our defense is God's word. And sometimes it's very simple. "It is written" should be our answer when we get challenged. That's it. You know, he probably was, who knows how he was? It doesn't say, but he was a man. "Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city and setteth him on a high pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in his hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone.' Jesus said unto him, 'It is written again.'" What does he say? "It is written again." That should be our response. But in order for us to have that response, we got to put it here and we got to let it sink here into our hearts. Put it in your mind, put it in our hearts, right? Let it sink down. It's part of the whole controlling of the mind. And it's not like you're letting God control. You're the one in control. And you should decide what you think about. But the best decision we can make is to put the word of God there. So when we are challenged, when things do come up, when it's just us and no one else, we have the word, just like Jesus Christ. Verse 7, he says, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And it goes on. He kept his mind stayed on God and God's word. Go to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And it's so important. Really, the hardest work you'll ever do is change your mind. And that's good work. And you know what? And it was talked about before. If you make a habit of whatever it is, whether it's music, sports, you practice, right? You do it over and over and over. Well, how about renewing your mind to the Word of God? How about having that habit? And you know what? If you're faithful in the least, you're going to be faithful in the much. If little things come up and you're faithful to respond to whatever attack it is, with "It is written," you know what? When big stuff happens, you're going to think the same thing. Because you'll have developed a sound mind. And that's something we develop on our own, you know? Like, I can't force Caleb, and Caleb can't force me to do it. It's very simple, but yet very deep, as usually the things of God are. Luke 8, verse 40. Let's look at this. And I share this because, you know, I'm going to give away the punchline. Two great things happen. There's healing, and there's healing. But what happens, what transpires in between is so key. How does Jesus Christ handle things? He had to have had a stayed mind. He had to have had a stayed mind in order to do what we're going to read. It says there, and it came to pass, verse 40, that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting in for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he came into his house. And he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. There was a crowd around him, right? And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years she had an issue of blood, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. You know, doctors are great. I'm not knocking it. But in this case, she spent all her living on doctors and still was not better. 12 years. Came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood stanched. And he said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they, well, Peter's always there, right? and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me." Now, he has this Jairus guy. His daughter is pretty much dead, right? Dying. And he gets interrupted. Do you ever get interrupted on the way to do something? Or you're online or on a call or doing homework? Yeah, we all get interrupted. I think mine and Dean's life is an interruption every day with work and stuff. You know, can you do this? Can you do that? Can I have this? Point is, Jesus Christ here was on his way to this need that this man had where his daughter was dying. And then this woman came from behind, touched the hem of his garment. And like I gave it away, there's great healing that happens here. But think of what happens in the between now, right? He knew something happened. He knew something happened, that somebody touched him. You know? And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. Jesus Christ knew. You know, when we're in life situations where needs come up and you want to help people, you've got to be sharp. You've got to have a stayed mind. You've got to be in there and just focus in on the things of God. Because you know what? If he had said, "Oh, screw this lady," or something, you know, I'm making this up, right? "Screw this person. I'm on my way to Jairus." And we're so focused on going to Jairus's, this woman, I don't know what would have happened. The word doesn't say it. But what I'm trying to paint a picture is that sometimes God may interrupt you. And like we read in the Old Testament, be ready to hear from God. If our mind is sound and we're like clean up here in the story, we're going to pay attention that God may interrupt us for something that is beautiful, and that this woman, in this case, got healed immediately, and you'll know. And then you know what? You move on to the thing you were going to go do. And this is what we'll see Jesus Christ do. Again, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Don't shun away people if they have a need, but don't forget the other person maybe that you had to go help, right? I just love Jesus Christ. Verse 42. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not." Right away, Jesus Christ was able to switch gears and go to the man, take care of the need. First thing he said is, "Fear not." You know why? The temptation was to fear in a situation, because the information wasn't good that he just got. You know, if we're in a situation like this, we could go by the senses and go, "Well, see, I shouldn't have stopped." But that's not what Jesus Christ said. Right away, he turned to the man, "Fear not." And you can read the rest on your own, because what happens is the daughter gets up, you know. And later, they even laughed him to scorn, Jesus Christ. Yet, he stayed in there, and the girl got up. She got up. Two great things that happened in this record. Was he interrupted? Yes. But he had a stayed mind. He had a stayed mind and stayed with it. And if we really care about the things of God deeply, which I know all of you do, or else you wouldn't be here, let's have a stayed mind. Develop a sound mind. And the way to do it is you just put on the Word. You just think the Word. Replace those bad thoughts with good thoughts. It's that simple. This God's Word thing, all of this, are God's thoughts. You just replace the condemnation thought that you may have with what God's Word says about condemnation. That if you're a believer, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. None. It's not even part of what we've got anymore. So talk about that. I mean, Tim shared that so awesomely. All right. I want to take a minute here. I want everybody to pick one word, right? You can write it down or just in your mind. One word is God. The second word is God loves me. And the third is God is light. All right, well, these are phrases. They're not just one word. But pick one of those three. And what I'm going to do is time all of us. All of us are going to do this. We're going to practice the stayed mind. So let me see. I got my little Apple Watch. I mean, whatever. Timer. All right? So what I want you to do, you don't have to put your books down. This is going to be a simple version. But I want you to practice the stayed mind right now. In a second, that is. And what that is controlling your mind to think one thought at one time. Everybody got it?
Yeah.
Any questions? This is important. Any questions?
What were the three things?
God loves me, that phrase, and God is light. Pick one of those three, just one. So you could either pick God, the Word, or the other two phrases. I want you to pick it. When I say start, we're going to go 30 seconds. But I do want you to close your eyes so you're not looking at your neighbor or talking. And I want you to focus on that one thing you picked. Okay? The stayed mind is controlling one thought at one time. All right? Ready? Go. Stop. That was 30 seconds. I don't know how you did, but the more you practice that, the better you'll get at that. And what it will do, it will help you in your life in many ways, in more ways than you think. You'll be able to get a lot more done in less time. You'll be able to control your mind and do one thing at one time. One thing, one time. Whether it's work or the Word. Or whether it's schoolwork. Or the Word. It'll help you in every part of your life because God guarantees it. Not because I'm saying it, because God guarantees it. And not only that, you'll build a habit of having that sound mind and being ready to hear God when He speaks to you. And it's so beautiful. It is such a valuable key in life. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. So as I said earlier, I'm picking three things that I want to just cover real briefly. Three things. Love, anger, and what is the other one? Oh, we'll get to that. I'll give you that one after. But love. Folks, love is basically a decision. There's three types of love, yes, but love is basically a decision. So 1 Corinthians 13:3. And the reason I share these three, love, anger, and I didn't say yet, is because there's so much of what God takes care of in His Word when it comes to these. Because these many times can be strong emotions. Remember, in the context of having a sound mind, okay? And let's look at what God's Word says. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. It says, "And now abideth faith, which is believing, hope, charity." And charity is the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation. These three, but the greatest of these is the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation, charity. Love many times can be a strong emotion, but the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation, when we love with that love of God, in the renewed manifestation, it does so much. It does so much. So when it comes to the subject of love, the greatest of all types of love is the love of God, and that we can manifest it. Talk about an emotion or, you know, a great thing that we could actually control. This is it. God's Word says here, out of believing, hope, charity, the greatest of these is charity. That is, to me, that still blows my mind that God put it like that. That we could love with that love of God is just so tremendous. You know, but ultimately, love is a decision. I decide if I'm going to love Dylan with that love of God in the renewed mind and manifestation, and vice versa. He's got to decide, right? So think about it. When we accept God's love, the sound thing to do, the correct thing to do, by controlling our minds, is to love one another with His love. You see how it works? And it's got to be in that renewed mind and manifestation, you know? We'll go quickly to anger. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. And again, this is stuff that we read in a couple teachers before me shared this already, but anger can be very, very strong many times, as you've all probably been there. And sometimes your anger is quiet. Well, whether it's quiet or not, get rid of it. That's what the Word says. It really can run somebody many times. You know, it can motivate people to do, and, you know, it's the way the world is, but we're above that. We're believers. All of us are believers. So Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, it says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger," there it is, "and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." God says, put it away. Don't house it. Don't welcome it. Just put it away. Are there times we're going to be angry? Yes, but don't stay angry. Don't stay angry. That's an emotion that comes up many times, but it's up to you to control it. Look at other verses that the Word handles when it comes to this. Because many times all God says is put it away. Because you don't need it. It's just heavy baggage you don't need. Really. Just put it away. Decide tonight. If you're angry about something or angry at someone, just put it away. It ruins you physically eventually if you keep it. So you don't want it. And by you deciding to put it away and letting it go, you're controlling your mind. You see how it works? It's very simple. It's very simple. God's Word is there for us to apply to our lives each and every day. And He knows what is the best for us. And so we can control that emotion. So when anger comes up, bring it down. Bring it down. And see, many of the things we looked at in the last half hour, whatever minutes, all really kind of go with one another, really, when it comes to controlling your mind, staying your mind, applying the Word in areas, you know, of your life. And that stayed mind is big, you know, practicing it every day. Go to Hebrews 13. And this is the one I wanted to share last. And I only picked three: love, anger, and feeling sad or feeling lonely. You know, that could be very strong as well many times. But how do we control that? What does God's word say? All I'm doing is giving you verses on these three things that the word says. So you could do this on your own where you just, okay, I'm an angry person, right? You go, all right, what does the word say? So now you have the ability and the opportunity to change your mind to what God's word says, right? And it's fun. It really is fun. And your life will change when you do it. Hebrews 13:5. If you're ever feeling lonely or sad or sullen, here's a great, great verse. Hebrews 13:5. Lay your conversation, and this is behavior, manner of life, the way you live, be without covetousness, always wanting more, 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 and be content with such things as ye have. Man, there's so much that we have just in Christ. And look, you guys all have Bibles and notebooks and friends. Be content with that. Be happy with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I want to read to you another translation. It's the Walter translation. It says, be satisfied with what you have without avaricious behavior. For he has said, I shall never, ever leave you. And I shall never, ever, ever forsake you. That's God. So if you ever feel lonely, you know what? God never leaves us alone. He didn't desert Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ was going through a tough time and decided to go through a death that was horrible, yet God was always with him. Yet, what's even greater is he got up. That God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. So if he didn't leave Jesus Christ, and we're brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, you think he's going to leave you and forsake you? No way! So for you, because sometimes I do feel like that, or I have felt in the past. And then I look at this and I go, oh wow, I could change my mind. You know, this is what the word says. So cool. 2 Corinthians, a couple more and we'll be done. 2 Corinthians. So again, that charity, that love of God and the renewed mind manifestation, God says it's the greatest of all those things. That we could put it on. That we don't have to have any anger, you know, when it does come up, just blow it away. Control your mind. And I'm only scratching the surface here. You could ask for help if you need help looking up other verses on some of these subjects or other subjects. You know, what's your heart need? What's your need? Well, let's go to the Word. So you have the opportunity to change and to be able to control, have a habit of controlling this, because it's important. And like I said, if you control your thoughts will take care of your life. Here's 2 Corinthians 10, 5 and 6. Casting down imaginations, sense knowledge reasonings, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. First of all, how are you going to get up against God? I mean, he knows everything and anything. How's your sense knowledge going to compete with God? You know what I mean? And here the word says, knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in the readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Whatever comes up against God's word, we're supposed to blow it to smithereens. Just blow it away. Just toss it away. And sometimes that could be very emphatic if it's something that you really, really need to push and really need to believe God for. Why not? You know why? That's worth more than doing anything else. Because you know why? You'll transform. You won't be conformed to this world. And you'll be a victor in the situation or in situations as a result. Isaiah 26, 3 to close. So again, I just touched on some things when it comes to controlling your mind. And there's much more in the Word that you can look at. But it is so vital, yet so simple. Really, just decide to think what the Word says. That comes with working on it, meaning working the Word into your mind so it can sink into your hearts. There's no greater, no more joyful, rewarding work than doing that, because it'll show up in the rest of things in your life so beautifully that you'll be able to walk down the street, look at somebody, and just heal somebody just by looking at them, because you're thinking like Jesus Christ walked, you know, like he walked. Isaiah 26:3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. You want peace in your life? Focus on God. Stay your mind on God. And not just the practicing like we did, you know, if you do 5 minutes a day and all that stuff, but just that we're always thinking about God. Do we have to think about other stuff? Yes, but you get the point. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. You'll have peace that reigns supreme, that passes all your understanding, that is perfect from God when we stay our mind on him. So be in tune to what God has in store for you, and control the thinker up here, because it's rewarding, all right? So I love you. You're the best.